Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It's the day you've all been waiting for, also probably dreading because of what it means for the Jets season. Dane Brugler is here. We are talking NFL draft, evaluating the quarterbacks, who's the best fit for the Jets, what if they don't take a quarterback and go a different direction. Plenty to talk about with Dane. I'm Tim McMaster along with Zach Rosenblatt. Thanks for checking us out on the Flight Plan Podcast. Please like the show wherever you're watching or listening. Welcome to the baggage handlers as well. Give us those 5-star reviews. Before we get to Dane, Zach, how are you doing?
I'm good. You know, I think people ask us to bring on Dane earlier and earlier every year, it seems like, because the Jets are just keep getting worse. And so I think we'll just spend this entire podcast asking him about Brady Cook is what I decided we should do. Yeah.
Past evaluations of Brady Cook. Dane, does this, well, I don't want to say the calm before the storm, because I think you're pretty much grinding 12 months a year. But like this time when we're getting into bowl season, we're not like at the Senior Bowl just yet. I mean, are you at least able to like breathe a little bit before we hit like the real build up to the draft?
Honestly, this is probably my favorite time in the calendar, because like once we get past Christmas, then I'm just, it's full anxiety because it feels like the draft tomorrow and I'm not ready. And, you know, it's that dream where you forgot to do your homework Sunday night. And that really is coming. But right now there's still a lot of tape that I need to watch from the end of the season. And so there's still a lot that catching up on, you know, want to get these guys in the right buckets, you know, the right neighborhood. And then as we get closer to the draft, it's kind of fine tuning and, you know, really stacking these guys where they should be. But yeah, it's an interesting class. It's one that I know, I was in New York a month ago, and my Uber driver was a Jets fan, and he recognized the name. And so he was drilling me the entire time on this and that. And I mean, he was convinced that the Jets are cursed when it comes to drafting quarterbacks. And I know he's not the only Jets fan to feel that way. So we'll see if at some point, either this year or next year, we're going to test that theory, right? They're going to draft a quarterback this year or next year. And it's just a matter of when they decide to do it. And I think it'll be really interesting to see how they want to attack that.
And we are going to get to the quarterbacks in this year's draft and probably a little bit into next year as well. But first, your mock came out, I think, beginning of last week. And you had the Jets staying put because you do take into account potential trades. You had them staying put at 7 and going with Jordan Tyson and then taking a corner at 23. Just interested in the thought process there and in your mind, the decision that the Jets will wait a year before making that big plunge into the quarterback market.
Yeah, and obviously the Jets have as much ammo, if not more, than any other team if they wanted to make a move for one of these quarterbacks. But it's an interesting year for quarterbacks because, first of all, we don't know which quarterbacks are going to be in this class. I think we feel pretty good. Fernando Mendoza, Indiana quarterback, will declare and will be in this class. He is the favorite to be the first pick. But what does Dante Moore do at Oregon? A quarterback who is 20 years old and realistically he could really use another year in college. You know, he has, I think right now he's at 18 or 17 career starts. And the track record of quarterbacks with under 25 career starts in college, it's not good. And so a chance to go back to school, especially in this day and age with NIL and, you know, make $4 million and, get better. So next year you're poised to also be a top five pick, but then be a better long-term quarterback because you have that development under your belt. But there's something to be said about striking while the iron's hot as well. And so I think Dante Moore's got a big decision coming up, and he has more games to be played. They have basically a bye week in the first week of the playoffs. No offense, James Madison, but Oregon should steamroll. And then it'll be interesting against Texas Tech, who has a really good defense. And so that'll be a good test for Dante Moore. But like I said, the Jets, and the other thing we just don't know right now is the draft order. If the number one pick ends up being the Raiders, the Browns, then it really might not matter how much ammo the Jets have. Whoever is at one is going to stick and pick. That's what happened last year. There were plenty of teams that were looking to go up to number one and get Cam Ward because they largely saw it as a one quarterback draft. The Titans, they felt like they found their quarterback and they just rebuffed any offer. And so if the Titans, the Giants finish with that number one pick, then all of a sudden we're going to have more of a discussion about, okay, who's going to make that move to go up and get the quarterback. In this scenario, in the mock, I had them staying put at seven. Just again, mock drafts at this point, it's less about accuracy, more about scenarios. We want to lay out, all right, what are realistic ways this draft could play out? And I think Jordan Tyson, wide receiver, Arizona State, is definitely a name that Jets fans should be familiar with because he is arguably the top receiver in the draft, someone that could come in and really take some heat off Garrett Wilson and make that offense more explosive regardless about who the quarterback is.
I also feel like those are good measuring sticks for like the time of the year too, that you can like go back to and be like, this is what we thought then. And that's why people overanalyze mock drafts sometimes, obviously, but I like them as like measuring sticks. I'm curious, in line with what you said, they have all these assets now if they want to trade up, if they can. I'm curious when the Jets made those trades, like what was going through your head as a draft guy? Like they obviously added like crazy capital. The Colts pick looks even better now, obviously. But I'm curious, like in the moment, like in your head, are you like, okay, they're doing this to get a QB or they're just building for the future? Like how did you view it?
Yeah, I mean, they're taking it down to the studs almost. And it's we can debate all day about what's the right formula to rebuild a team. But I can't fault them for going the direction they did. It's painful to let a Quinnen Williams walk out the door, a Sauce Gardner. Like that's not an easy decision to make. It's less about, like, I don't think it's, oh, well, this GM didn't draft those guys. I mean, they're good players. You don't want those guys to not be part of your program anymore. But at the same time, you're looking at the 2027 roster, the 2028 roster. You're forecasting what those are going to look like. And in order to get those rosters where you want them to be, so you are competing, you're becoming the next Lions. You're becoming, the next team that really turned things around. You need the draft capital. So, you can, hit on the picks and then really turn things around. So it's easier said than done. It takes a lot more than just the, trading good players away is the easy part of this whole thing. That's the Browns have done that a lot of times where they had multiple first round picks because they traded away, traded back, but it doesn't mean anything if you miss on them. And so, we can debate all day about what should they draft a quarterback this year? Get that clock running, just to get the quarterback into the room. We could debate about should they build up the roster first and then wait to take the quarterback next year. It really doesn't matter. All that matters is the only strategy that should be at the forefront of the minds of these decision makers in the building, just get it right. If that means drafting a quarterback this year, then so be it. I think they'll be hot and heavy about the quarterbacks in this class just making sure that they know everything about them, whether or not it's the right decision to go after one of them or if we should wait. Last year, it was not a great quarterback class, and we were saying, oh, just wait till next year. And okay, here we are. And all of a sudden, it's not looking so hot. You know, Arch Manning most likely going back to school, and he didn't look all that great up until late in the year. Guys like Drew Aller and Garrett Nussmeier, some of these seniors that we thought could be in the first round mix, they are not, we're no longer considering them top 50 type of players. So who knows what the 2027 quarterback class is going to look like. So I think that looking at this year's group, you know, it's back to your original question. It's painful to let some of those guys go, but I think the Jets are in a position where I think a lot of GMs are envious about the opportunity this team has to moving forward to really get better.
All right, let's dig into these quarterbacks. We'll start with Mendoza. I'm just curious, you know, obviously he's had likely a Heisman campaign this year, but last week, Big Ten championship, he goes up against an elite defense in Ohio State with a defensive coordinator with NFL roots in Matt Patricia. Just curious about your opinion of him going into that and what you learned about him from that game.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out that Mendoza is not a come out of nowhere type of guy. Now, he wasn't like a five star or anything like that. Like his only offer come out of Miami, the Miami area in Columbus High School was Yale. And then Cal came in late and gave him an opportunity. But we knew watching and studying him last year, we thought, OK, this is a guy has a chance to be a first round pick. You know, my way too early mock draft back in April for this draft, Mendoza was in there coming into the year, my top 50. He was in the top 20. So he was already thought of as a first round pick. But credit to him, because everything he has done this year for Indiana has put him in position to be that number one overall type of pick. And that's it's crazy to think about this Indiana program and the heights that, credit to Kurt Cignetti, head coach, and everything they've done. Quarterback is a big piece of what they're doing. And, you know, it's an RPO heavy offense, which is perfect for Mendoza's skill set because he's so smart pre and post snap. He almost always makes the right decision. He plays on time consistently. And I think the most impressive part of what he does is just the poise. We talk about the moment being too big for some of these guys. It's never been too big for him. And you know, I love that no matter what tape you mention, whether it's Iowa, Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State, I can give you 3-4 examples on every single tape of NFL-level throw or an NFL-level decision or a crunch time moment where the quarterback had to be the guy. He had to step up and make a big play, and he answered it every single time. You set it up with the Ohio State game. We were kind of secretly rooting for that Indiana-Ohio State matchup at the Big Ten championship game all year because the two didn't face in the regular season. And I really wanted to have that measuring stick, that data point for Mendoza going up against the number one overall defense and someone that has, I mean, what, four first round, four of the guys on that defense were in the top 20 of my mock draft. And the other guys are getting drafted as well. So a bunch of NFL dudes. And the first play of the game, it looks like Mendoza gets knocked out. And he takes that huge hit, and we're thinking, oh, great. You know, that's a big bummer. But he comes back two plays later and was nails the entire game. And they really – the run game is a big part of what that Indiana offense wants to be. They really strive for balance. But when they needed the quarterback to step up and make a throw – he did it numerous times. There's a 4th-and-2 that he converted that was huge. That big, the post down to Becker, there was a 50-yard play. The slot fade to Surratt for the touchdown. And then with 2 minutes left in the game, third down.
Clincher,
exactly, that go ball. So, I mean, again, every single tape I can point to and say, okay, Mendoza stepped up in the moment. And I think that poise, that confidence is that along with the intelligence, pre and post snap, to me, that's what stands out the most with him, along with his accuracy. And so does he have the biggest arm? No, it's good enough, but it's not a Matthew Stafford type of arm. Size is fine. Mobility, he's not great, but he's good enough. So, you know, it reminds me a lot of Jared Goff coming out, who was the number one pick 10 years ago. And I think he's that style of quarterback and someone who I think can operate an NFL offense from day one.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
I was actually just going to ask you that. You already answered it. Because, yeah, it seems like Goff is the one that you hear the most, which I think Jets fans maybe are looking for, like, the next superstar. But I also think that the Jets would settle for, like, just a solid quarterback for a decade, which you'd get with, like, a Jared Goff type. So I am curious that, like, how does he stack up in your mind against, like, the top guys of the last couple of years, like the Cam Wards, the, you know, Drake Mays, Jaden Daniels, like those guys? Like, how does he stack up prospect-wise with these last couple of years?
I mean, I think he would. I haven't put final grades on these guys just yet, just because I want to see them throw in person at the combine. I want to talk to them in person. So no final grades yet, but I expect my final grade on Mendoza will be probably a little bit better than I had on Cam Ward last year. And Cam Ward was like my, 15th overall player last year. I don't think anybody in this class comes close to the top three guys from 2 years ago, you know, the Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. But if Mendoza was in that class, he's probably quarterback 4, but when you look at those three guys, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Like, you understand like what those guys were as prospects. And, you know, I think to the overall point, I don't think the goal of drafting a quarterback should be, all right, we need to find the next Patrick Mahomes. We need to find the next Josh Allen. Like, it's not a realistic endeavor. The goal should be, can we find a guy we believe can become a top 12 quarterback in the league? That's all you need. You know, if you can find a top 12 quarterback in the league, someone's going to help you win the division, and then you keep surrounding him with talent, you're going to get to the playoffs. And once you get to the playoffs, it's just about winning one game and then doing it again and doing it again. And then you're in the Super Bowl. Like, you have to find a top 12 quarterback. And I think that Mendoza certainly has the ability to get there. And so I think that's, instead of looking at him and saying, well, you know, he's not Josh Allen. He's not, like, I'm looking at him saying, hey, he could be a top 12 quarterback in the league. And that's exactly what we should be striving for.
All right, moving on to Dante Moore next. And I know you already talked a little bit about the, you know, the youth, the lack of experience and all of that. So whether he comes out now or he goes back to Oregon next season, what are the main things that he does need to, like, focus in on and get better at to become that quarterback, whether he's doing it for an NFL team or for the Ducks?
I've been really impressed this year with Moore, and because the last time we saw Moore on the field was 2 years ago at UCLA, true freshman. It didn't go great. Transfers to Oregon last year, sat behind Dylan Gabriel, so we didn't really get to see him last year. So we didn't know what to expect coming into this year. Obviously, Oregon, with the way that they rebuild in the transfer portal and the recruiting, the offensive line we knew was going to be good, the weapons were going to be good. The quarterback was an unknown variable, and I've been really impressed by everything they put on his plate and the way he's answered week in, week out. You go on the Penn State tape, the Iowa tape, the Indiana tape was probably his worst game of the year. And it really wasn't even that bad. I think in terms of ways he can get better, it's just obviously the experience part of it. He tends to predetermine a little too much, just about where to go with the football. And to be honest, that's a lot of college offenses where it's, pre-snap, if the safety's doing this, okay, boom, you're hitting the out, or, you know, it's all, a lot of it's predetermined. There are times where he'll take off quicker than he needs to. You know, I want to see, can he get through that backside read? Can he stay put in the pocket, let route, some of those route combinations develop? And, you know, a lot of things that you expect from a young player. His eyes are in the wrong place. You know, not being as decisive as you want, especially under pressure. So there are examples of that throughout, you know, his tape, you know, in the whole body of work. But like I said, I've been impressed with everything that they put on his tape or on his plate, and how he's gotten better with each game. And because there are points where his receivers have been hurt. You know, the offensive line has been up and down, and the quarterback has been the constant. And so I think from a physical standpoint, he's a very loose passer, very smooth in his setup, his operation, his release, very natural thrower of the football. You know, he can change arm angles. He's very good in the screen game, but he can also work down the field. And I think he's a better passer on the move than I think we thought. He's very efficient using his legs. If there's space, he'll take advantage of it, whether it's scrambling or just buying time. So Dante Moore, if he's a stock, you're buying, you know, because you feel like it's headed to big things. Again, 20 years old. And so if he did go to, say, a team like the Jets, what's the plan? You know, it's kind of, you know, because Sam Darnold was a third year sophomore, you know, when he was drafted, he had under 25 starts. And, you know, you had McCown coming in as kind of that bridge. And but, you know, it's tough ask. And, you know, there's just no substitute for experience. So the Dante Moore domino is a big one for this draft class. And so very eager to find out what he decides to do.
Well, I feel like in the same breath, but like I feel like the inexperience is maybe a bigger concern is probably Ty Simpson, right? Because, you know, I guess they have around the same experience games wise, but like he didn't help himself in that Georgia game clearly. But I still feel like because of this quarterback class, if he were to come out, he'd probably be a first round pick and a team might talk themselves into him. So I'm like, I'm curious where you see him as a prospect relative to Moore, and like the idea of him coming in and, you know, whether it's you let him sit for a year with a bridge or whatever, kind of like you were just saying.
Yeah, Ty Simpson is tough because if you asked me this at Halloween, I would have said, okay, yeah, I think he's gonna be a top 10 pick the way he's playing. But the pre-Halloween tape and the post-Halloween tape is very different. Yeah. And it's just November was tough for Ty Simpson. And look, it wasn't just the quarterback. The offensive line was bad. There's no run game at Alabama. The receivers were very inconsistent with maybe the exception of Jeremy Bernard. But you know, the quarterback is part of that. He's at the center, and you know, he did not make as many plays as he needed to. There's so much to like about him, the way he moves in the pocket, the way he can get through his reads really quickly. You know, his dad's a 20-year head coach at the Division I level at the FCS. So he grew up on a practice field. He grew up in a quarterback room. And I think he's a little bit different than most first year starters because he turns 23 years old this month. He graduated from Alabama before he threw his first touchdown pass. So really just a unique situation. And I hope he goes back to school. What happened in November clearly showed that there's a lot he hasn't seen yet. And it's, you know, you don't want to go to the NFL and see things for the first time and learn on the fly like that. It's not going to go great. You know, the SEC championship game was just his 13th career start. So he needs more time. And I don't know. We'll see. I think that, you know, because he is going to be 23 years old, a lot of people are going to say, oh, he should go. I don't think age matters as much for quarterbacks. I mean, look, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, they were both 24 when they were drafted, top 12.
Tyler Shuck, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and he was the 40th pick. I mean, you know, teams, can you be a starter for us the next 10 years? That's what teams care about. They don't care if you're 22 or 24. So if I'm advising Ty Simpson, I'm going to say, okay, what are the Alabama coaches saying? Because they've got a 5-star redshirt freshman that, you know, in today's NIL world, they have to figure out, you know, do we need to get him on the field? Can we keep them both? How's that going to work? Is it going to be like a Carson Beck situation where maybe Ty Simpson has to look in the portal? And I think there'd be more than a few teams interested in bringing him in for his final year. So there's a lot of things that they need to figure out here. But first and foremost, they've got a game coming up here on the road in Norman against a really good Oklahoma defense. And so how does that, you know, one game shouldn't decide or make any decisions, final decisions, but if he plays really well against that defense, I don't know, maybe that will help him nudge him in a certain way. So Ty Simpson's a tough one. I do hope he goes back to school, but if he does declare, could he go in the first round? I think there are enough quarterback needy teams that'll fall in love with the person and the player over the next 4 months.
You're on mute, Tim.
It's your fault, Zach. It's your fault. Simpson and Moore feel like, if you had to guess, they'd probably do come out. Arch Manning, obviously, everybody expects to probably go back. But if he did surprise us and decide to enter the draft, where do you see him kind of settling in?
If he declared, he'd be a first-round pick. I mean, I think the biggest thing that fans have to realize, like, players and prospects, those two words, they're not synonyms. You know, like, there's players and there's prospects. And as a player, Arch Manning is this, but as a prospect, he's this. And because as a scout, as a GM, you have to, yes, you have to scout the player, but you have to scout the prospect. And what is he going to be 2 years from now, 3 years from now? And it's a very difficult thing, because not only are scouts, you know, detectives and psychologists, but you have to be a fortune teller as well. You know, you have to look into that crystal ball and say, all right, look at his trajectory this year and the traits and, you know, the person that he is, the character, the football character. We feel like he's, going to skyrocket here. And so he would be a first round pick. Now, would he go number one overall? Would he go top five, top 10? That is very much up for debate, but I have no doubt about it. If Arch Manning came out, he'd be a first round pick. But I think hopefully, and I think he will go back to school. Just because he knows he needs more experience, more development. And Texas is, I think, in a good spot where, as long as, you know, the left tackle goes back, I think, you know, they'll get Wisner, the running back, and then the receivers should be better next year. So I think that Texas offense should be in a good spot next year. But if he did surprise, there's no doubt someone would draft him in the first round. Probably pretty high.
Yeah. I think another idea that's been floated about the Jets, beyond like the not skipping their QB, but like not using the seventh pick on it and either using like their late first or one of their multiple second round picks. Like, what do you think about that idea? And are there prospects that you think are even like worth, you know, taking a flyer on like that? I mean, it doesn't seem like there are any Jackson Dart level guys maybe, but curious what you think there.
We'll see who comes out. Among the seniors, I don't think so. I mean, like Garrett Nussmeier is probably going to be the first senior drafted, and I would guess he's going to go in the third round. Among these underclassmen, like Brendan Sorsby from Cincinnati, you know, he's got a lot of fans throughout the league. But I think in this NIL world, I think someone's going to give him $5 million to go, you know, play at Texas Tech or one of these other schools. So I think for the most part, if we're talking about that Jackson Dart range, I think we're talking about Ty Simpson. You know, I think that Fernando Mendoza, Dante Moore, both be top five picks if they declare. And then Ty Simpson becomes a wild card, and that's the Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck, Will Levis, you know, that kind of, like, maybe he goes first, but if he doesn't, he'll probably go somewhere early in the second. You know, probably that type of quarterback. If it's not those, I'm not sure who else it would be. Like, I don't think John Mateer from Oklahoma is going to be that guy. You know, there's a few guys I like Josh Hoover from TCU, Byron Brown, South Florida. Like, there's a few guys that we like as quarterback prospects, but I don't think they're going to rise to the level of being a top 40 guy.
All right, if they decide not to go quarterback this year and decide to replenish the defense instead of going offense, there's these two guys at Ohio State, right? You have linebacker Arvell Reese, safety Caleb Downs. What do you make of those two guys?
Arvell Reese, I mean, Ohio State defense is by far my favorite just unit to watch. I mean, it's so much fun to see how they operate and how they work, the cohesion that they have, and obviously well coached, but then obviously the talent is just tremendous. Caleb Downs he's a pro playing in the college level. You know, I hate when you're watching a broadcast and you hear him compared to Ed Reed. He's not that style of player. It's not that he's better or worse. It's just that he doesn't play that center field deep post, like where he's, you know, roaming the deep half of the field, coming away with these interceptions. He plays more closer to the line of scrimmage. But his superpower is how versatile he is. You want him to be the robber, he can do that. You want him to play in the nickel, he can do that. He can just do everything you want because he's so smart. He's such a sound tackler. He sees the chessboard really cleanly pre-snap, and so he understands what the offense is trying to do. He can key really quickly and then be in position to make the play. And so I think that Caleb Downs, he'll be really interesting. Him and Jeremiah Love, the running back from Notre Dame, two positions that we don't see traditionally drafted very high, running back and safety, but they're probably the two of the three best players in this draft, full stop. And so how early are teams going to look at that and say, yeah, we don't feel great about drafting a safety top 10, but looking at overall options right here, and we look at the player that's going to make us better, not only talent upgrade, but the culture upgrade. I think Caleb Downs is going to be someone that is universally liked, and then someone's going to pull the trigger on him. And Arvell Reese, it became pretty clear pretty quickly that he was just kind of different. His ability to be on the edge and either rush the quarterback, be a spy, drop in space, play the run. He's so physical and violent for a 240-pound linebacker that he can be an edge rusher. He has no problem lining up on the edge and setting the edge, being physical, being violent. He can rush. He can drop. The closing burst is outstanding. So, I mean, to me, he's the best player in this draft. Now, where are you going to play him? Is he a true edge? You know, play him off the ball full time. I think there's debate for that. I just know that as a front seven working downhill type of guy, he could be a true difference maker.
It's actually crazy how many first round guys are on that Ohio State defense. It's got to be one of the most loaded group ever. Like,
and he had 14 draft picks last year, so it's crazy. And I think the most underrated member of that defense is Caden McDonald in the middle, the nose tackle. I watching him on the Indiana tape was, oh my gosh, he consistently resetting the line of scrimmage, the power. You have to double him. Cause if you leave him single blocked, he's going to win. And when you double him, he doesn't move. He creates those 10 car pileups. Indiana wanted to establish a run so badly in that game, and they didn't do it because of the nose tackle and obviously the talent around him. But it starts with 98, Caden McDonald in the middle. And that's why, you know, we don't see nose tackles drafted very high, often, the Vita Veas of the world. McDonald is kind of in that group where I'll be pretty surprised if he's not a top 20 pick.
Yeah, awesome. Well, so we've taken up too much of your time. But before we left, I actually had something to thank you for. So back in when The Beast came out, I was able to get some free slices of pizza at this great spot called Scars because they did like a whole Beast like giveaway thing, and that was all because of your work. So awesome. I was curious, like how cool was it when they did that? Like there was people coming to get their own copies, like they were doing this whole, like I'm sure when you started doing that way back when, you couldn't have envisioned it getting to the point where you're having like these big promotional things.
Oh no. And they didn't really tell me what they were going to do. They just said, hey, we got some big things planned, and I was like, okay, cool. And then someone sends me or maybe it was on Slack. Someone sent me a picture of the car and the giveaways they were doing. And I was like, oh, give me a heads up next time so I can maybe like fly out there and like be part of it or, but no, that's pretty cool. And I do what I do because it's just what I enjoy and my passion. Yeah. And, but see the way it's grown over the years has been, it's truly humbling. If I got you free pizza, then it's all been worth it. I know that.
Good pizza too. This isn't Domino's we're talking.
Yeah.
All right, Dane. Thank you so much. Enjoy the quote downtime here and through the holidays, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, you too. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dane.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with Smart Card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
He's the best.
All right, Dane Brugler checking in. We get him basically once a year. We usually have him come in at a differing time when it makes sense. This one made sense, I think, before these college football playoffs start and we see these quarterbacks going at it. It just kind of gives you a little more information when you're watching those games, I think, too, which makes it more interesting to get there. All right. Let's talk a little bit about this week, Zach, and this Jets team, and not
exciting
just
stuff.
The future. Yeah, we're not going to dig into the Jaguars game, but the quarterback situation is kind of what, I think it's what we wanted, right? We got Brady Cook. We got Adrian Martinez.
He's back.
Backing him up. He's back. What a world we live in. But just, you know, what are your expectations for Brady Cook with a full week of practice? I'm actually like...
intrigued,
excited to see what that looks like.
Yeah. I mean, I would say my expectations in general are very low for this week because I tweeted this, but based on the people, if the people who didn't practice yesterday don't play this week, the Jets starting lineup for offense would be Brady Cook at quarterback. It would be Isaiah Davis at running back. Breece Hall was out with knee soreness. Wide receiver Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver John Metchie, wide receiver Isaiah Williams. None of those three guys were on the team when the season started. Tight end Jeremy Ruckert. And the regular offensive line, but like, like this is like, this is the territory of like some of those bad Jets years where you look at the where they have the graphics of the lineups and you're like, oh man, so that's where we're at right now. But yeah, you know, Brady Cook, like I think we were, you know, I was mildly impressed with the way he got better over the course of that game. I will say this is like not an ideal game, especially when you have receivers who don't seem to want to catch the ball. The Jaguars are very opportunistic in terms of forcing turnovers. And now they're probably like, you know, they're probably salivating over the possibility of going against an undrafted rookie or maybe Justin Fields. But I don't get the impression he's going to be. Just to give a little behind the scenes story about Justin Fields from yesterday, like a few of us were waiting over by his locker to talk to him. He walked through the locker room, was kind of grabbed by PR, brought into the back. All of a sudden, he's chilling there for a while, and then we see like a staff member like slyly try to grab all his stuff and bring it to him in the hallway. So he snuck away from us without ever talking to us this time. They might not want him to talk after he admitted that he didn't want to be the Wildcat quarterback because he was injury averse, and then he since has shown up on the injury report with knee soreness, and he didn't practice yesterday. And so I can't imagine he's going to be the quarterback this week. I don't know if that's by his choice or the team's or if he actually is feeling his knee is injured or I'm not accusing him of making it up, but you know, these are kind of things you have to think about around this team sometimes. So Justin Fields, I would be surprised if he starts another game for this team. So we're going to see some Brady Cook and you know, the ceiling for him is proving that he can be a backup quarterback option, whether it's number two or number three next year. Like he has the ability to play his way onto the future of this team. Adrian Martinez is a guy that this fan base actually kind of likes quite a bit from the preseason. So I'm curious to see if we'll see, like knowing how things go with the Jets, like it would be shocking if we had Adrian Martinez snaps at some point as well. So and just adding to the list of quarterbacks that have played for the Jets. If Brady Cook starts, I forget what the number is, but they've reached, I think the number of quarterbacks that have thrown passes in games since they last made the playoffs is at like 24 or something like that. So we're about to hit. If Adrian Martinez plays, it'd be at 25 and, you know, doesn't seem to be getting better in terms of the players they're putting out there, I'd say.
Let's hope Adrian Martinez doesn't play, though. Let's stick to Brady. Let's get him through this.
I mean, one. I will say Adrian Martinez got shuffled through the Kyle Shanahan quarterbacking school for the first half of this, for the last, like, you know, 12 weeks of the season. So, you know, maybe he comes back and he's like the next Sam Darnold. Who knows?
It's always good to dream. All right, let's do picks to wrap things up. Here we are. Top of the board, no change, although it was a tie. So I guess there is a change. Rishi Ryan, I think, was alone in front. He slipped up a little bit just 4 out of 10. So Sisyphus Jets moves into the tie, 158-158. And Mark A. Checky just won back. And where are you now? Zach's into seventh place.
Seventh place, not bad. Maybe I know what I'm talking about. Maybe not.
You had back-to-back 14s. That was huge. and I noticed that, so I missed a week, which hurt, obviously. But I'm still in 21st, and my percentage is 54.2, which is better than yours, Zach. better winning percentage.
So you're saying, but you know, we don't know how you would have done that week. So I think that's fair. You know, accurate.
Fair. All right, let's take a look at this week's games. There's some good ones on here. This is probably the most confident I've felt about picks throughout the season. Usually I'm like, oh, I have 4 I feel okay about. I'm just guessing at like the other 6. I actually felt pretty good about these. I have like Tampa Bay. I feel like, I don't know, they're a mess, but rights the ship. Cincinnati, their season's over, but Buffalo's a mess. There's a lot of messes here. Let's start with the Jets, though.
Yeah, let's start
with taking the Jets. to not win, but 11.5 is a lot of points. I think they keep it close. That's assuming some of those injured guys you mentioned do end up on the field.
Yeah, I don't think the line's changed. I think it was at 11.5 when I did my picks yesterday. So I'm going to say Jets lose by more than that, honestly, especially because while I am intrigued by Brady Cook, I just don't see it going well against a Jaguars team that has something to play for. They're trying to win the division. The Texans are coming up right behind them. And yeah, I wouldn't recommend anybody going to this game. Like, I do think the weather is going to be nice in Jacksonville. It's going to be like 60s, which I'm looking forward to. My wife's coming out. I think we're going to go to St. Augustine for the day on Saturday. Try to make a fun trip out of it. And then I go to New Orleans next week, which is one of the best road cities in the NFL, though it's not cheap to get there. But yeah, I see a blowout. I see them getting their asses kicked. But I will say, every time I predict the Jets to win is when they get killed. And a lot of times when I predict them getting killed is when they play pretty well. So take that for what it's worth.
Buffalo and New England's interesting. The Bills favored on the road.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Obviously, the Patriots won in Buffalo. I think the Bills do get some revenge there. This Patriots run just seems like it has to.
Well, I was going to say, this probably, like, if the Patriots win this, then they're going to win the division. And if they lose it, then the Bills are pretty interesting. And then I wonder what they do with the Jets. The Week 18 games aren't out yet. If that game matters, like, I'm curious. I don't think they had flexed it to like Sunday night or anything, but
they can't flex Brady Cook.
Yeah, well, but I mean, the Bills game will matter though. So I wonder if they do like a 4 p.m. where you line up with the Patriots or something, or like, I don't think they would put it on Saturday, but you know, something to think about and not ideal for my travel planning, but nobody cares about that. And I am looking forward to going to Bar Bill. I am not looking forward to the weather that, and I'm curious if any Jets fans are going to that trip. I can't imagine many.
All right. Anything? Well, one more I'll point out just from a tankathon standpoint is the Redskins visiting the Giants,
the Commanders. You just call them the Redskins. Jets.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. Sorry to everyone.
Wow.
We'll edit the tape. Everyone's phone just slips back in. The Commanders visiting the Giants.
Yeah, that's a big one for the
game
draft.
For the Jets. I mean, the Commanders one spot ahead of the Jets. So, and I would expect, I would hope, I mean, the Giants are favored, but obviously a decent chance that the Commanders can win that game. And then the Jets at least move up one spot to 6.
Also, the Colts games are, Jets fans are going to have their eyes on right now. We have 44-year-old Philip Rivers possibly playing. They're 13.5-point underdogs against Seattle. The Colts are probably, I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts lost out, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
We should actually point out all the tankathon teams when we do these. So the Saints are only 2.5 underdogs against the Panthers, and they're playing pretty, like, Tyler Shuck looks pretty good, honestly. Like, I've been really impressed with him. The Browns, 7.5 underdogs.
Browns are at the Bears.
Against the Bears. They're not going to win it, but like, the Bears are a weird team where they keep these games close. So, and the Browns do have a good defense. Vegas. I mean, you never know with this Eagles team. Like, the Eagles team is a mess. Like, if they lost to the Raiders, like, all hell would break loose
at home.
But you need the Raiders to win games, because if they get the first pick, the Jets aren't getting Mendoza. Like, that's just a fact. Like that. Dane kind of touched on this. The Jets need a non-quarterback needy team to get number one in a year where it might be a one quarterback draft if Dante.
Which is where we are right now, because the Giants are currently at one.
Yeah, like, you want the Giants or who's the other one? Oh, the Titans. You want one of those two teams to get number one or number. But
the
one
Giants
or two.
Are not going to trade. Would the Giants?
I think
trade number one to the Jets. You think they would do that?
I think they would for the right. For I mean, if they're getting first multiple first, yeah. I mean, Joe Shane is going to be GMing for his job. I think it does matter where the Jets fall in the order too for like a trade up. Like
that's true.
If the Jets are if the Jets are coming up from seven, yeah, seven is different than four, you know. So, yeah, it's going to be the like these last four games. I do think the Jets at best are going to go 1-3, and I don't think the Saints game is a lock. So if you finish the season with three wins, you're going to be in the top three or four. Then you're in really good shape. Even if you don't wind up getting a quarterback, you could probably get Arvell Reese right there. So, which by the way, I think Arvell Reese, if you're not getting a quarterback, he's the most intriguing guy to me in this draft for the Jets because, I mean, they need playmakers in a really bad way. That guy can play edge, linebacker. You can move him up, move him all over the place. Like, he's just, like, so perfect for what Aaron Glenn wants to do. Caleb Downs is also intriguing. I can't imagine taking a safety in the top five, but, yeah, Arvell Reese. That's why I wanted to ask Dane about that because I'm fascinated by him as a Jets
target. Well, and he's, I mean, the fact that he can line up as an edge. I mean, he
– yeah.
There's a lot of reasons to think that they'd be better off leaving this draft with him and not one of the quarterbacks, right?
Like, yeah. I
don't know. And keeping those first rounders, like keeping all those picks, you know, keeping number 23, and then what do you get there?
Yeah.
Like, do you get Ty Simpson at 23 and Arvell Reese at 4?
I mean, if you like a quarterback enough in this draft, you probably just take him with your first pick and then you figure the rest out. But if you're like,
you can't take Ty Simpson at 4,
yeah. Yeah, I know. But my point is, like, if you like, okay, we think Ty Simpson's the guy, like, you just do it and deal with the criticism. But also, like, if you're like, okay, we like Ty Simpson, but we'd like Arvell Reese a lot more, let's see if Ty Simpson falls outside of the top 10. Like, then do we talk about trading up to get him also? Like, it's the Giants scenario. Like, they wanted to take Abdul Carter. I think Dable would have taken Dart at number 3 or whatever it was, or 2. I can't remember where they had. But as the draft went on and Jackson Dart was still available, they saw an opportunity to trade up and get that guy. So I could see something similar playing out. Ty Simpson, I mean, Dane expressed all the concerns. I have the same ones. The Jets are not a scenario where you can drop a guy who's very inexperienced like that in and feel confident. Yeah. But if you're getting him in the 20s or the late teens instead of top 10, then you could be a little more low-key with you. You don't feel as rushed to throw him into the starting lineup.
I was going to say, there's no – if he goes in the 20s and he's your second pick of the draft, they're really the pressure to play him as a rookie does kind of come off.
And yeah, I mean, and then you could even do what the Giants did. Like, not to say the Giants are, like, a model organization, but, like, maybe you bring back Tyrod. And like, because they brought Jameis and Russell Wilson, so you had two options to bridge. And Jameis wound up being a good fill-in backup. So you maybe bring back Tyrod and you sign, I don't know, Mariota or trade for Tanner McKee, Phillip Rivers. Like, yeah, Phillip Rivers. Bring back Zach Wilson. Like, one of these exciting options.
Wow. Bring back Zach Wilson. That was something. All right. That's going to do it for us. It'll be an interesting game on Sunday. Brady Cook time. So we'll see how it goes. And we'll keep as we go the rest of the way. I think we'll do if we're not having a guest on to talk draft, we're at least going to talk ourselves about this. And I feel like we should start, Zach, just doing a quarterback check-in every week where we just like based on the college football playoff games, yeah. Like how did Mendoza play? How did Moore play? How did
totally
play in these games as we go forward? So
yeah,
we'll be doing that. Thanks to everybody for to checking us out, whether you're checking out the audio or the Baggage Handlers here on YouTube. We'll talk to everybody soon.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.